This is a Little Empire podcast. Visit us at littleempirepodcast.com and on Twitter at Little Empire Pod.
Thanks very much to Big Pipe Broadband, who have sponsored this show from the very start. With Big Pipe right now, you can get a month's free internet on any connection by using the code BIGPIPECOMEDY at checkout. A $49 connection fee may apply. That code again for a month's free internet is BIGPIPECOMEDY at bigpipe.co.nz.
So much for joining us. You know, this is the second time we've ever done a live podcast. And last time I said at the end, I was like, next time I'm going to learn an instrument and I'm going to play the theme song
live. Like a sax or something.
I still have not put the work in.
But next time.
Next time it's going to be really good. I've been working on, can I show you a skill that I've been developing?
Yes.
Recently I've been working on my indie pop singer. You know when an indie person covers a pop song and they make it sound...
Yes.
So, can I show you it?
Yes.
I really steamrolled the start of this podcast.
No, I know the voice. I can't wait to hear it.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
It's a mogaya.
It's that thing. I can't. It's those vowel sounds. I'm like, what are you doing?
Like, I want a cup of coffee.
You're like, who says coffee like that? You're putting an R in there that doesn't exist.
What song is that about someone who desperately wants a cup of coffee?
I don't know about you, but that's the song I sing every morning when I make myself a cup of coffee. Welcome along to the Male Gaze,
everyone.
Thank you
so much for coming along.
And to you listeners out there who are listening to this maybe in a week, maybe in a month.
Maybe in a year.
Maybe in a year.
After like most of the human race has perished.
The world is ending. You're all in your bunker and you're just plugged in. And you've gone through all the Little Empire podcasts. And you're like, the male gaze, I guess. Let's give that one a crack.
Finally, there's no more walkout, boys. We have to listen to
Gather
this
around
show.
The radiator, kids. You've got kids.
The radiator? You don't
I don't
play.
Know. I don't know sci-fi. Do I look like a guy who knows sci-fi?
You look like you could be in a sci-fi.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen a sci-fi, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it.
I reckon you could be one of the hot Star Trek ones, like in a very tight, svelte space crew suit.
I'm kind of blushing.
Okay, I mean, let's just say I'm writing the screenplay in my mind already.
This is the... usually we have like a karma... like we have like a ginger ale or a karma cola while we record, but we were like, shall we have a Chardonnay? And then I was like, shall we buy another Chardonnay? So we've got four Chardonnays up here. And we've already both finished our first one. So we're feeling kind of like my mum in like sort of mid-January. She's always... she's always sort of been like 1.5 Chardonnays down.
I feel like I'm living the exact life I wanted to lead every Sunday, which is like a little bit drunk.
Yeah, I know.
On a set that looks a little bit like our own version of The View on a very, very low budget.
Low budget view. So, welcome along. We have to start with...
that was the straightest noise you ever made.
I was about to just roll into it without the fact of the game.
Oh, yeah. Very important.
Very important.
Huge.
So, fact of the game. Do you have one or do I have one?
You have one. You bought it.
Yeah, that's right.
But we've both got tabs open on our phones to talk about this subject.
It is, yeah. So, the MTV Movie Awards. So, the lead actors from Moonlight...
mm-hmm.
They're the lead actor. They're all the leads in that movie. Took out
no
best
part is a small part.
That's right. Took out best kiss.
Yeah,
on the beach. The beach kiss. The
teenager. I would say that's good, but it should have won best hand job. Yeah.
So it's kind of phenomenal because it's like, you know, two queer characters of color won best kiss for the MTV Movie Awards, which
huge.
is great. And then I started like thinking about the... I mean, it's it's fantastic when there's any recognition. But then I was like thinking about just the MTV Movie Awards in general and just how funny they are. And all the categories are like best abs in a drama. You know?
So good.
It's like, so like, I guess it kind of counts, but it's also like make-believe awards.
The tab that I've got opened up on my browser.
Yeah,
is,
I'll open my tab as well.
Get your tabs out. It's who has won Best Kiss every okay. year running. Do you guys want to know? 1992, Anna Chlumsky, Macaulay Culkin, and Mine Girl.
Oh, like, my God. 1992?
I'm going to go to some others. Oh,
it's 1995. So weird. I don't really think of it as like an MTV movie, you know? Like, it's kind of like a tragic one from my childhood.
Also...
Anna Chlumsky, also like a bit of an icon for me, and I watched that movie so much growing up, but maybe just had a crush on Macaulay Culkin.
He's beautiful, he's so clean, he's got a great haircut, he looks great in this suit when he's dead.
Yeah. Or also, oh my God, why have I forgotten her name? Freaky Friday Mum.
Oh, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Can we just appreciate Jamie Lee Curtis for a bit? And my favourite quote from that movie is Anna Chlumsky is doing her makeup. No, yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis is doing Anna Chlumsky's makeup. And she says to her, "You can never wear enough blue eyeshadow." And it's just the most amazing thing.
It's just not at all true. Jamie Lee Curtis.
But I remember when I was like trying out makeup quietly in my like house growing up as a kid. Be like, I'm just gonna clean up my sister's room for her, and then just be like, where's her makeup? Yeah. But I was always like, you know, red for the lips, blue for the eyes. Like it was just like paint by numbers. I was like, you put on blue eyeshadow.
My blue felt in my felt to pencil, it was completely worn out because I did like a stripe of blue over every person's eyes. Male or female?
Thank you.
I didn't see gender and I still don't.
Blue eyeshadow though.
Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore won Best Kiss for The Wedding Singer.
Love it.
Weird. Oh, here's the first. So the first gay one on this list is Sarah Michelle Gellar and Selma Blair in Cruel Intentions in 2000.
Can I just say that some of these other categories... Best scared as shit performance. Best sandwich in a movie.
What is that?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't work for MTV. Thank God. And where was my favorite one? Oh, yeah. Best summer movie you haven't seen. In 2007. What the fuck? Should we be awarding that? Like, no one saw the movie. Unless it hasn't come out yet. In which case, your awards are next year.
Yeah. Be patient.
Be patient.
Be patient, Hollywood.
Be patient, Hollywood.
Your time will come. One of the reasons we want to talk about it as well is because the MTV Movie Awards this year became the first awards show. Well, probably not the first awards show ever, but the biggest one yet to not gender the acting awards.
Yeah.
So Emma Watson, as it turns out, is the best actor in the world, according to the MTV Movie Awards.
It's so crazy when they're like, oh, we're having like an award that isn't, you know, going to have a gender labeled onto it, like best male actor, best female, you know. And so in my mind, I'm like, oh, well, it will go to someone who sits outside of gender binaries, who, you know, sits gender neutral. But then you're like, no, Emma Watson. No. Like,
the Disney princess. The Disney princess was kidnapped by the Beast.
Again, we just need to remember her doll. That they made for Beauty and the Beast, and the face on that doll.
I want to order one.
I saw it in the flesh the other day.
Really?
Yeah, and I like gasped.
Oh my god!
Because it was like famous to me because I'd seen it on the internet so much. I was like, and I was like, get a selfie with it. You know, like I should have bought it. It's like we should be buying these things, everyone, because it'd be worth something one day. But like, that's the fucked up Emma Watson doll. That's too real for everyone. It's like actually having Emma Watson over.
What that doll looks like to me, if you were to do that doll's voice, it wouldn't sound like Emma Watson. It would be like, hi.
Yeah, I was going to go deep as well. Like, what's up? What's good? What's good, Miley?
So Emma Watson was one. The other big winner was the tiny girl from Stranger Things.
Oh, 11.
Yeah, 11. Millie Brown. Who I think we can all agree is...
smarter than us.
And going to have a meltdown about age 17.
Yes, I know. I think. But it will be a classy one, I reckon.
I think so as well.
And then she'll, like, do... art for a bit. Like, she'll be like a painter.
Yes.
And then she'll do like some live nude modeling in her like early 20s and then kind of like land on her feet somewhere.
Yeah, it's two instrumental albums.
Yes. But like ultimately, I, even though we know it's she's about to head into like a storm,
yeah.
I feel like it's only going to make her like a smarter, braver, stronger woman.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about her. You know, we all go through that. You know, you all...
I celebrate the torrent of cocaine she's about to do.
Yeah, I do. I think it's going to be like character building. It's like Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan!
She is what? Amazing.
You think her character... She is not
she's
doing
well.
She's
a strong woman. Have you heard that accent? It's strong. It's a strong accent. You're like, she's European. She likes fine breads.
If you come to my nightclub...
I just love making movies. I loved Herbie Fully Loaded.
You know, it was a good song. The theme song for Herbie Fully Loaded by Lindsay Lohan. And it was called First. No one remembers that.
Never heard of it.
The chorus was like, I want to feel like anybody out in the world. Like,
I remember that.
That...
Just I saying.
Mean, you guys are just listening, podcast listeners, but the vibe in the room just
everyone
then.
Everyone was like banging their heads.
Everyone was
like
whoa! Everyone stood up, jumping up and down. They got out their lighters.
I loved when every pop star, every movie star, like young female movie star, like yeah. had to release a single. They were like, come on, Hilary Duff, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And Ashley Tisdale, I mean, they all kind of like had a go.
They went through the Mickey.
Lindsay Lohan's one I remember being like, I don't know if I buy this. Like, I don't know if she wants to be a singer.
What was the one about her dad as well? It was like very, like a haunting one. Like not quite black and white, but like super tone video where she's in a ball game with like lots of mascara going Ooh. Down. It was...
I'm just thinking about Kelly Osbourne's Papa Don't Preach. Which was such a good song. And I was a massive Kelly Osbourne fan.
Yeah, I like her. I still like her.
Oh, do you remember that terrible racist thing she said on The
yes.
View? Yeah, I don't want to repeat it, but it's a really good YouTube watch.
You know what?
Because she's like, you're watching someone backpedal like live on TV. She's like, I didn't mean that. And he was like, stop talking. Leave the stage. Give up.
This morning, me and Rose Matafeo, who is staying at my house at the moment, Bows of the Heart, we listened to 3 Paris Hilton songs in full. Just because we're just to remember.
I every now and then we'll see like a photo of Paris Hilton emerging
yeah.
like online where she's like, I feel like she's kind of hitting her stride again. Like she's sort
I think
of
so.
In the way that you wear something ironic from the 90s. People are like kind of doing photo shoots with Paris Hilton kind of ironically because she was this like star from the early yeah. 2000s.
Did you see that interview as well? It might have been on The View. God, The View is getting a lot of shout outs. Mm.
Huge shout out to The
Rightly
View.
So. But she admitted that her, the voice.
I love that that's our like point of reference. Like it's not like a good book or something. We're like, I think I saw this interview on The View once.
Yeah. I saw it on The Talk. I saw an interview with Haley Joel Osment on The Talk.
Wow.
Very sad. And they were like, how did you get into acting? He was like, I did a pizza commercial and then I did The Sixth Sense and then I finished acting.
Oh my God.
It's very sad. But Paris Hilton was on The View or The Talk or one of those ones and she was admitting that her voice that she used to do in A Simple Life or
yes.
The Simple Life, was put on, and her real voice, she was like, this is my real voice now. And when I was on The Simple Life, yes. I used to do this, and it was like, wow.
I loved The Simple Life.
It was good, eh?
Nicole Richie is just so brilliant. She's like doing, like, she's in Tina Fey's new series.
What?
Yeah. Like, acting in it. She's cool. Got the goods. She knows what's up.
Is she still with a Madden brother?
Probably.
Cool.
I didn't pay him that much attention.
Main difference, every time I've been in Australia and I've been there
it's
recently,
funny that the kind of content you can absorb while just like scrolling the internet. I'll just be like, he's Nicole Richie and I'll be like, I think I absorbed that information but it's hard to say.
If she's listening, she's going to feel so bad if she's not in that Tina Fey show.
Yeah, I think she's like 80% in it.
80% of her body is in it but they cut the top of her head out. The Madden brothers are still famous in Australia. Like they endorse products there. It's so weird.
I'd buy something that endorse. Just saying.
What sort of thing are you thinking? That
I don't know what. Like skateboards. I don't know. I don't know what they're selling. I don't know what straight shit they're selling.
You're lying to me, the room, and the listeners right
yeah,
now.
I wouldn't
you
buy
would
anything.
Never buy anything they endorsed.
Let's get into the theme of this week.
It's Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day. And you're all the people in this theatre today are not with their mums.
How cool would it be if we said that and someone stood up and screamed and ran out of the room?
I'm supposed to be at brunch! and so one of our favourite things we've ever done on The Male Gaze, and it was the very first episode, was the theme You Could Tell.
Yes.
Where we look back on moments in our childhood and... like significant choices we had made as a child that were different, like strong signifiers that we were gay.
Yeah.
And that we'd later on look back and be like, of course. Here's the spin.
This week on The Male Gaze, we decided to take that onus off ourselves and give our mums the responsibility of coming up with moments that they could tell that we were gay. And then share them with us, hoping that they wouldn't offend us.
When I called my mum about it, she was like, okay, well, so. I was like, text them in. I don't want to hear your tone.
Every single thing my mum has written here ends with a question mark.
We'll go one for one, eh?
Okay,
My first one is so obvious, but yeah. It's kind of nice coming from my mum. You were addicted to watching The Wizard of Oz. I watched it at least 4 times a week.
That's a long movie.
Now, this is before I could remember it. So I'm going to say this was before the age of 6. Like, I would have watched it 4 times a week.
Yeah.
It's so crazy that how that film is such a signifier. Well, no, it's not crazy. I mean, it's kind of obvious, but it's like... The Wizard of Oz is a real, you could tell, movie if your kid is really into it.
Well, that'd be where the phrase Friends of Dorothy comes from. Or is that just because people were... Judy Garland had lots of gay friends.
No, both, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then it's just so interesting. I mean, the movie's camp, but not kind of camp in the way that, like, Priscilla, the Queen of the Desert's camp.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just, I guess it's about that, like, sort of young girl...
It's
lost.
I think it's camp in almost the exact same way as Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
The Lollipop Guild is not camp.
All of the prominent roles are women in like iconic dresses.
It's just that in Priscilla, it's men as women in dresses. Yeah, yeah.
Like even the lion suit and the Tin Man have kind of like a fetishized.
Oh yeah, the lion. Oh, you were so gay.
The lion's really hot.
What? No, the scarecrow is hot.
Is that not what you said?
The scarecrow. I see the lion is so gay.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all so gay.
That too.
But the scarecrow, I reckon the scarecrow is the hottest, and that's why he stars more in the movie.
Yeah, he's got the best song for sure.
I just think you'd take off that straw, take off that hat.
Maybe I'll put this up afterwards. I've got a photo of me as the scarecrow at the Christchurch Santa Parade. And I also reckon it's maybe the hottest I've ever looked.
How old are you?
I'm 19.
Oh, okay. I was going to be like, I was 4 years old. There's a photo of me, though. In my upbringing. I'm like 8, and I'm like lifting my shirt up on a rock, and I've kind of got abs.
Oh.
And I was like, was I hot as a kid? Where did those abs go?
Really cut, kid. I used to have quite good abs because I used to be able to do that thing when I was a child where you can like roll your stomach and it kind of slides.
Yeah, I was always jealous kids that could do that.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Got you a lot of like social capital at primary school. You're like, look what I can do to my tummy.
We used to do it like when the teacher would turn away, you'd like stand up at your desk, pull your shirt up and roll your stomach and everyone would be like, what?
Legend!
Yeah, the same response we got when we sang that Lindsay Lohan song. The movie that I watched the most, I used to watch Jurassic Park every single weekend from the ages of 5 to 10, which is weird, right? Because that seems kind of like masked to me, but then I also know like a ton of gay men who loved Jurassic Park.
It's kind of nerdy. Like,
yeah.
Like not in a bad way, like in a way that people want to be nerds. Okay. But it's like kind of dinosaurs and that kind of shit.
Okay.
Am I a bully right now? I don't know. Did I just say nerd and meant it?
You know what? I reckon there's something quite gay about the velociraptors' like long hands that they open doors with.
You are projecting.
I always do this.
Velociraptors are not gay, mate. Velociraptors, they kind of camp.
Yeah.
What's the campest dinosaur?
I think it's a velociraptor because it's got those big sharp curved
toes. I was
going to
say pterodactyl.
No. Get absolutely fucked.
We shouldn't be projecting any sexuality onto these prehistoric animals, to be honest. I'm almost about to call my mum. It's so dangerous having my phone up like that. It's like she can hear this. All right, go, Eli.
All right, so, okay. Oh, shit. She said, so use these or not, I won't be offended, which is very sweet of Ronnie. She said, here's the first one. You were very clean. And would have more than one shower per day. You never smelt, with 3 exclamation marks. I think that teenage boys often do until they get used to needing to care.
Wow. There is something about, like, I remember when I first moved to Auckland and I was like, really just like stepping out of the closet, so to speak. And there was like, it was
striding more, like kicking it open.
No, like inspired. And I was at that horrible time where there were like some people that knew, some people that didn't know. And I literally spent most of my day just like doing the admin of like trying to figure out who I could hang out with. I was like, well, they don't know, so I can't hang out with them.
Yeah.
But my flatmate, who was like this, he was like quite, he was like the gay guy who like lived in this tiny room. And
I remember him.
But he had so, you remember him, mate?
Yeah. Interesting. Hot?
Very hot. Had so much skincare.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe this is the thing, like gay men loves skincare. And it was like Kiehl's, like, and he had the whole range. I mean, I've got lots of skincare now. So yeah. Like, but only, mainly because he had so much skincare. I was like, maybe it's my responsibility to have like a good skin regime.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like we're always talking about our skin regime. It's maybe I am.
I'm talking about, I still haven't bought an eye cream. And I mean,
do it.
Every day I look at myself. But I did get a tinted moisturizer at Duty Free.
Oh, I want to get one.
Well, it just makes you look a little bit more something. But but I also, because it's like, it's basically just moisturizer with foundation in it. It's just makeup. But I'm wearing makeup. And I think this t-shirt has got, I've discovered that when you get the stains on the top of your t-shirt, woman, I admire everything you do every day.
Here's another one from my mum. Came to pick you up from kindy one day to find you leading the entire kindy in a game of follow the leader. And all the moves were like ballet moves. Oh. The girls loved it. And the boys were confused.
It sounds like you were the scuxus kid at kindy.
Always a born leader.
Yeah.
Clearly. Yeah. Always moving in some way. The girls loved it. The boys were confused. I love that my mum added that detail.
I like that,
there.
Yeah.
I wonder what the boys were confused about.
To me, that sounds like...
They fragile
were like,
masculinity.
Yeah, they were like, oh... I'm liking this plie.
But, like, what does this mean?
Yeah. Can I do these moves and still play rugby with the boys? God, four-year-olds go through a lot.
They do go through so much.
Turmoil.
Do you have memories from kindergarten?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Just going to have another sip of Chardonnay for this one.
We lived, when I from the ages of 0 to 5, I lived in quite a like semi-kind of rough neighborhood in Auckland. And our neighbors... father went to jail and so
wait, sorry, why, you lived in Auckland?
Yeah, until I moved to Christchurch when I was 5.
Wow, okay, learning new things. Not Christchurch born and bred.
I know, sometimes I say that I am just to get on side with
you
people from Christchurch.
Yeah,
I was born in the big smoke.
I can tell.
Yeah. I know. And so it was kind of a rough neighborhood. And all of my older sisters had been to like a certain kindergarten. But then for me, just like I lucked out in a lot of ways. They enrolled me in like a private kindergarten. And
ooh, flash.
Thank you. And here's the two things I remember. One, there was a slide, but the slide was a sheet of fabric. Is this a real thing? So you.
Nope. Sounds like a sail or.
It was kind of like
a washing line.
Like a tightly wound tarp. So you kind of like slid down. Oh, is that safe? Also, we did a musical where I sang Speckled Frog. Three little speckled logs sitting on a
I wouldn't call that a musical. You sang a song at kindergarten.
There's notes. There was an audience. There was a costume. Next up, Broadway.
Like Les Mis is a musical. Three little speckled frogs sitting on a log. It's not quite a musical. Like, I'm not going to travel to Broadway to see three speckled frogs sitting upon a log.
You didn't see this interpretation, so you can't judge it.
Okay.
Also, on the day that I left, which was like I had a fifth birthday party before I left, before we moved to Christchurch, they made me from the Women's Day cake cookbook, The Train.
The fucking hours I spent looking at that book, eh?
So good.
Mum would be at the supermarket. I don't know where the book would be like with the magazines, eh? But were the magazines closer to the checkouts back in the day? Or were they always down like an aisle? Anyway.
They're close to the checkouts now. Have you not been to
Yeah, there's always like a few special ones at the front. Yeah.
Special ones?
Your TV guides, your Women's Day, the special ones. but then that book would be slotted in there. And I don't know what it was. It was like the first time I learned how to be like suggestively looking at something to hint to someone that I wanted it. You know, yes. You'd be like, oh, this lion face cake is pretty cool. Mum's like, I'm not fucking making that.
Do you know what's the worst?
I'll buy you a cake. I don't bake. No, my mum's lovely, by the way. It's just that she doesn't like doing... We don't go camping. We don't go skiing. She doesn't bake and she doesn't sew. She actually threw her sewing machine down the stairs.
Oh,
we were moving house. Mum was like, whoops, dropped it. And she's like, I can't sew you things anymore. Not that she ever did.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you know when I was six? Oh my gosh. I on purpose dropped a bowling ball on my mother's foot.
On purpose?
Yeah, on purpose.
You can tell.
There's a lot of faces gasping. I broke a toe.
I mean...
We just moved to Christchurch. Maybe it was like a moving thing.
Did you deal with the move well? There's a lot to unpick here, and I reckon it's going to like really make you make sense, this like moment in your childhood. Come on, mate, have another sip of Chardonnay and tell me everything. Was it hard for you?
A little bit at the start.
Oh my God.
I remember someone put a stink bomb in my backpack, first few weeks of school, but I came into my own.
Yeah.
By the time intermediate rolled on, I was like the butterfly.
What intermediate did you go to?
Kirkwood Intermediate.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, not to brag, but it was, you know how like there's an intermediate school which has all the technology, so it had a cooking room and a metalwork and a woodwork, so all the schools that didn't have them came to us. They like bust in, and then there was all these kids in other uniforms, and we were like, welcome.
It's pretty much every day for us.
Enjoy our services.
This microwave's pretty boring. You said quite a bit. We had what was called a discovery classroom at our primary school.
Ooh.
And it was, this later became Discovery School and Unlimited.
My sister went there.
Yeah, and it was this like whole alternative education system, but it started in this one classroom that a good friend of ours, Hamish Parkinson, was just like randomly appointed to be in this classroom. It's like guinea pig kind of stuff.
Whoa.
And it was like, first day, it was just like, there are no rules. And... there's a couch at the back of the classroom. And everyone was like, a couch in the classroom. And there was like rumor ran around the school. It was like, yo, room 10 has a couch in the classroom. And everyone was like, whoa, you could just like sit and read a magazine on that.
Shit.
Because it was like cool, you know? And then you'd always just sort of see the kids running around while you're in class. Yeah. But turns out they learnt nothing.
They learnt fuck all.
Like Hamish was talking about. It's like, I just totally forgot how to spell and count.
Yeah. Yeah, my sister went for like a year.
I think they ironed the kinks out when they started up their own school.
Not really. My sister went for a bit, and then I think she told my parents, she was like, I think I have to go back to normal school. I'm not doing anything.
Right.
And I was in a touring show about science. Thank you. And it was like
a musical?
No, but I could have made it into one if I wanted to. It was like a geology lesson where we were like, we played, I don't even remember. Anyway, there was a little, it was a fucking student play. And we came and we did it for like fifth form students, but we turned up. And because they only go to the classes they want to, three students showed up. and there were Ooh. Seven people in our play.
Oh. And it was like, this is what the industry's like, mate.
Yeah, it's a hard yard.
That being said, like, their school, I think the main thing they were trying to iron out were, like, the horrible sort of social inaccuracies of like, the school education system. And that, like, I think there was a lot of, like, what people would call troubled kids who would go to these schools. And then, like, they actually worked with these kids in a really effective way. Anyway, that's just my shout out to that school.
Yeah, they really did it good. Okay, here's a couple
I've
more.
I've got one.
You did the last one.
No, we do one for one. So we go one more each.
He did the last one.
You did the last one. Oh, no, did I? Kendi, it's your turn.
Here's one.
I've got no memory. I'm starting on these Chardonnays. And I'm just feeling wasted, to be honest.
I love this one. Three words with a question mark at the end. Loving Greek mythology?
I'm just going to go up and look at these vases one more time.
One more time.
You've literally been looking at those vases all fucking day.
Yeah, I love the vases. But also, like, I think a clear indication was when I was 9, we had to do a kind of presentation to the class on a thing that we studied, and we needed to both talk about it in front of the class and present a, like, booklet. And I drew a 50-page booklet about all of the Greek gods, and I drew them all.
Naked.
Not quite naked, but practically. And they, and the abs and the pecs were huge.
It was like such a... Like, when you, I was like sort of less so like emerging out of the closet. So like still kind of in. My like defense, but you know, like I didn't know, was like, I was like, back in like Greek days, like people didn't have sexualities and they were just like, they would just like sleep with like whoever they wanted and they'd like wrestle naked. So I'm just like, I don't know, living like the Greeks did.
How many people were you wrestling naked with at this point?
No one.
That's cute.
But dreaming about everyone.
I had the same thought. I was like, oh, everyone feels these like sort of feelings. It's just a normal part. And you just kind of like ignore them.
Suppress them. Then come out and make a podcast. And find out that everyone's just like you. I really like this one my mum just said at the end. You played with teeny tiny families, my littlest pet shops. Also, Sylvanian families. You'd gossip with the girls. You understood them.
You understood them. That's like 14 things.
This is all kind of like, it's all sort of one. It's like you kind of played toys and then like gossiped with the girls. I understood them. That's like, girl, I know.
Girl, I get it.
I get it. It's hard.
My littlest pet shop was awesome.
Yeah. We all got like toys whenever someone went to the hospital. Like, for any reason, whether that be a new family member being brought into the world or my dad's brain tumor operation. But we all got a toy. It's fine. He still plays tennis with his brain surgeon. It was a defining moment in our childhood. But we got a little, like, okay. The thing is, you don't remember the operation or like the sadness or any of that like really serious stuff.
Did you have to watch the operation?
No, but we got to like touch the staples in his head.
Whoa!
Which was cool when you were like 8. You were like, can I touch the staples, please? But mum's way of coping...
The bowling ball's not looking so bad.
Mum's way of coping was like, just like buy us all a toy.
Yeah.
And like it was the same because my little sister was born just a little bit before that operation.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, shout out to my mum, by the way, who had like a... another child, like a little bit later than she thought. It was a surprise one. Surprise lives, you were a surprise. But then, like maybe like a month later, found out that dad had this brain tumor, which is so full on because she was like, fucking hell, I've got 4 kids. No way. It was like genuinely quite scared, but was like, we're going to the hospital. Every kid can pick what toy they want. And Alex got like a G.I. Joe. And I remember as a kid being like, you're supposed to want a G.I. Joe, but you want a Littlest Pet Shop. And was like, I'll have a Littlest Pet Shop, please.
Yes.
Thanks. Yes. Don't applaud me. Applaud my brave mother.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I just got a toy. Spoiled.
One of my favorite toys was the Littlest Pet Shop, but it was like Shamu the whale from Free Willy.
Mm-hmm.
And you filled it with water, and then you could also plug him in
Keep going.
You could penetrate him with this little bit of plastic, and then he would spin around like he was diving through the water.
I think I had that one.
Oh, so good.
I had quite a few of them. Shit, they were cool toys.
I mean, bad for teaching kids that, like, enclosed animals are cool.
Well, whales and, enclosures. But no, they were fun to play with.
They were. This littlest pet normally lives in a pod of about 50 traveling the whole ocean, but now he's just in your drawer.
Back to that thing of, like, gossiping with the girls.
Yes.
We had this thing called, like, the student of the day or student of the week.
Yeah.
Apple of the teacher's eye, whatever it was fucking called.
Teacher's eye.
Wasn't it a thing? It was in one class I had. I was like kind of waiting for my turn. I was like, it's like we're getting into May now and I haven't been student of the week. I remember my turn. And you got like a big piece of card with a photo. You had to pick a photo and stick it on the thing. So you like your best shot. And then we'd sit in a circle on the mat and all the students would give out compliments to you.
Oh.
No, the best, right? We should just do this as adults. And then the teacher would write it down on the card and then stick it up on the wall. And one of mine, I'll never forget this, was Chris has good gender balance. He plays with boys and girls.
Oh.
And I think that's a good... Well, I remember when we got taught about gender balance, which is, I don't know, like, really a term anymore. Like, you wouldn't be like, I've got good gender balance in my life.
Yeah.
But maybe it's something that we should all strive for.
Because
I definitely think there's, like, guys out there who, like, just only hang out with men.
That was a big point that my parents both made with us as well. They were like, you've got to play with both boys and girls. You've got to mix it up.
And I was like, can I play with just girls? So the boys are already playing soccer and it's just not really my cup of tea.
Yeah. You know, when I first moved out of home, I was like, I like purposefully lived in a flat with like mostly boys because I thought, I was like, I've lived with all girls because I've got four sisters.
You're torn out of your home from Auckland. You had to move to Christchurch. We know the story.
Yeah. The bowling ball.
It was a fart bomb, I know.
But then I personally moved into a flat with all boys and I was like, oh, that'll be cool because I've always lived with all girls. And then like almost immediately, and now I live with all girls again and I love it.
Yeah.
I love
so
it.
So much better.
My boyfriend, so I've just been down in Wellington with my boyfriend for a week and he lives in the studentiest of studenty flats with like straight, like guys, they're really cool and I really like them, but they are so straight, I literally cannot understand them.
You're like, we're speaking a different language.
Literally, they'll be like,
you need to use like Google Translate to be like, what are they talking about?
They all came to my show, and then afterwards, they're like, yeah, bro, I really loved your show, but he's just cracking jokes, and they're so funny, man. It's really, really cool, man. We're just going to go play Lord of the Rings on the PlayStation 2 if you want to come play. But we're also playing beer pong after that. I don't know if you want to know. We're just playing cracking jokes, man. I'm going to use some of those jokes at work. And I was like, yeah.
I don't know if they should be using your jokes at work.
I know. I was like, they're not going to sound the same in your voice.
Yeah, so the first time I had gay sex. Do you have any more sweet gems from your mum?
Okay,
and then we'll move on.
There's one.
I love how like we're so admin-y. We're always like, tick that off and then we'll move on. Like we cleaned the set before you guys came in, by the way. I was like, this table's disgusting.
Yeah.
I was like, it looks like it's come from a strip club. I guess it does look like
it. It looks even more like that.
For those who aren't here, it's like a mirrored cube. It's very camp, actually. Especially with the fern.
All right, I'm gonna quick fire some things at you.
Yeah.
And the last one is gonna lead into our next subject.
Great.
Okay.
This podcast is gonna be 3 hours today, by the way, guys. So.
She wrote good dress sense. She wrote you in a Minnie Mouse bathing suit with Minnie Mouse roller skates.
Bring that look back. I had Minnie Mouse roller skates too,
mate. They rolled.
And the Velcro were like the ears.
Yeah, loved it. Playing with Barbies, that's a pretty normal one. She said, oh, look at this. I only had daughters, so I was not very experienced, but you were always exceptionally kind.
Oh. Put that on a student of the week board.
She put that on my poster for my comedy festival show.
Very kind.
Exceptionally kind. My mum. And then this last one is going to lead into the
right,
subject.
Love a good segue.
You dressing up as Ginger Spice.
Okay. This brings up, we for the last kind of bit, we'd kind of do like an icon or tricon where we discuss whether this, like a notable figure or figures in this case, are icons or tricons. But I feel like we're going to discuss the Spice Girls.
We're going to run through all five.
All five. But I think like we should just, but I think the thing we really want to know is who's the biggest icon out of the five Spice
Agreed.
Girls.
Yeah.
So let's just start with the obvious, which is Jerry.
Yes.
Who was my favorite as well.
Yeah.
Growing up. And she just, it's so funny that like gay men were instantly attracted to Jerry. And they're like, that's our girl.
So on.
And then she obviously released, when she left the group, she released It's Raining Men. And that became like the ultimate like gay anthem for that, like those like 5 years.
Yeah.
I rewatched that video clip. Her body is
sublime.
Also, did she have an eating disorder
yes.
as well?
So they all did.
Yeah. So I was like, her body's amazing. And I was like, should I be saying this? Like, was she troubled at that time? But her body looked amazing. It's such a good music video. But the first look, she's in like a black crop top and like black kind of like,
is this when she's at the audition?
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Black, like not like bike shorts, they're like knicker cuffs. I don't know how to describe that.
Can I get that in knicker cuffs?
Knicker cuffs sounds awful. Anyway, and she has like a blonde bob, but she's like strawberry blonde.
Yeah,
shit, it's a good look. And I was like, that is gonna be Halloween this year.
Yeah,
because it's so good.
Great.
Thank you.
We should find a group of five and go as the Spice Girls.
Yeah, but like after they'd separated, but they've like got back together for a reunion or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
That's a great costume theme. Who are you? We're the Spice Girls after they broke up.
You have to hang out at the party all separate places. But then at the end of the party, Mel B, Emma Bunton and Sport and Jerry get back together. Get but back the other together. Two are like, oh, we're not doing it. And they're like, oh no. That's just a commentary on that's what happened.
So she's a so Jerry's a big one,
huge one. Also interesting, first to leave, which to me shows like the leadership and drive of a queen.
Yes.
Also, I think the reason that I wanted to dress up as her when so it was my sister and her friends, they all dressed up as all the Spice Girls and we did a photo shoot.
I love that photo shoots were always an example, like an excuse to get dressed up at. You're like, oh, I've got to do a photo shoot this afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With a disposable camera. You just buy one set of film just for that afternoon.
Do you love the noise when you press the flash on the disposable camera? There's like, that kind of like high. Do you know that noise?
No.
You know. Do people here know that noise? Yeah, thank you. It exists. Buy a disposable camera. Listen for that noise.
I think I'm thinking about Jerry Halliwell and Ginger Spice in the context of RuPaul's Drag Race, which I've watched a lot of this last week. And I reckon Jerry is the closest thing to like the comedy queen of the Spice Girls as well. I think she's the funniest one. She's got the most vibrant personality.
Well, she was the like outspoken one as well. And I feel like she was actually a big driver for the like girl power movement. Like she was the one who was always like first to put her fist up, you know?
Yes.
She's like flower power. And then everyone was like, following, they're like, I think, yeah, we'll follow Jerry on this
flower?
One.
Did she say flower power? Flower power.
Flower power. It was flower power, wasn't it? No, wasn't it? There's a big Spice Girl fan in the audience. Well, girl power. But wasn't it flower power as well?
Flower power is just what hippies were into.
Yeah,
in
right.
The 70s.
By the way, always wanted the impulse. Never thought I could have it.
How delicious.
It smelt amazing.
Was the Spice Girls Chubba Chub? Do you remember that? It was like, candy floss flavor or something, or like pink lemonade, had bubblegum in it and a sticker of one of the five girls. Okay, so I want to talk about Mel C, Melanie Chisholm.
Sporty.
Who was my favorite at the time just because she was the best singer.
Yeah, she was doing all the heavy lifting in terms of the vocals.
Also like vocals and like she was doing like backflips in the videos and stuff. Like
she's working hard,
She's doing almost the entirety of the work.
Actually, really inspired a look for me of like track pants but like zipped up, you know, like showing the leg.
Yes.
I used to pull that look way too confidently.
I love that look.
As a kid, I was like, because everyone wanted like CCC's or Asics track pants back in the day. And I didn't want the Asics because, I didn't want the CCCs because were they the ones that had an elasticated ankle and I wanted just like the straight leg.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to zip it up right to the knee.
Yes.
And then like sashay about with my legs out.
Oh. So many people at my school as well, they're like sashaying but got like mud on it. So the bottom of their track pants were like all covered in mud.
It's a bit cool having a bit of mud. Or like, remember when jeans were like, you wanted to get that, the bottom of by the ankle a bit wet.
Oh yeah, and ripped up. Girls at my school, Ricken High School, they used to wear kilts and it became fashionable to wear, it was like, in summer, skirt as short as possible.
Hold on, you need a flag here though, that like, in Christchurch, unlike like a lot of places, rest around the country, Christchurch iconically has like long length kilts.
Long length kilts.
Most kilts around like I don't, maybe this is just me who thought this, but like around the knee.
Yeah.
But Christchurch, like most schools to the ankle.
Because it's cold.
It's cold, mate. Down south.
It became really fashionable to wear your kilt as long as possible at my school. So all the girls had like, because they tried to wear it as long as possible, they all had like 9 inches of mud at the bottom of their kilts. They washed them like once every school year.
I love that.
It was iconic. Here's the thing about Mel C as well. So she's had a lot of speculation in her lifetime that she is gay.
Yeah.
And guess what? No, never has. Never had any relations with a woman.
Really?
Yeah. She said, I used to think it was funny, but I've got fans who are lesbians and sometimes I get them coming up to me saying, when are you going to come out? I started feeling guilty because I wasn't gay. I was thinking maybe I should be a lesbian. Sometimes I wish I was a lesbian because men are so crap.
Damn right, girl.
Wow, I quite like that answer.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's like taking that kind of, I've been like, you can kind of take that label because you think it's kind of fun and then you realize there's a kind of responsibility for that and then you like, are maybe abusing it.
I would have thought that you would have had a I thought that she would have had a good solo career because she was the best singer, but I think she had one of the worst.
I remember one song. Was she in a room of mirrors?
I turn to you like a flower leans toward the sun. One person knows it. Yeah. It was in. It's in Bend It Like Beckham in the clubbing scene. Yeah, in the clubbing scene.
Love that movie, by the way.
But no, my iconic Mel C moment is when she did a duet with Bryan Adams. It's called Baby When You're Gone. She's like, baby, when you're gone, I realize I'm in love. So it's fucking. It's a good song.
Baby Spice.
Yeah.
Emma Bunton. Like, not much of an icon, to be honest.
I know.
Like, I'm just going to put that out there. Like, people might just be like, oh my God, shut up. But I just feel like, if you compare it to, like, say, Jerry, who I was reading the story about her appearing at a gay pride parade on a horse.
Just leave that image with you. The gesture you did, it was as if that is the most magnificent thing any person
in my
has
mind
ever
it was like the tallest horse. It was like a Trojan horse inside with lots of gay men.
Oh, Halloween costume.
Halloween costume.
Trojan horse full of gays.
Versus like Baby Spice, who's just like, I'm cute, and just had like a lollipop in her mouth.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And everyone that wanted to be Baby Spice that I knew when I was young, it was just because they were the smallest. And they're like,
everyone wanted
Baby
to
Spice.
Be her, yeah. But then, like, later in life, everyone's like, she's a bit forgettable.
But I will put one argument forward for Baby Spice. Best solo song of all time of the Spice Girls, which is I Took You What Took You So Long, What Took You All Night. And in the video, she's in a blue polka dot dress and she's on a swing.
Okay, so doesn't make her more of an icon though.
Halloween costume, walking around. You gotta have
swing,
tape a swing to your butt with two ropes that you've like
but
wired to
so like
all
poles or something. Yeah, so straight, yeah, another one. And then you're like, this is such a good idea. Then you're at the party, and you're like, what the fuck am I doing?
Everyone,
no one
like,
can talk to me.
I've been poked by those ropes so many times tonight. I don't think Eli even knows. He looks nothing like Emma Bunt. Wow.
Everyone's like, what are you?
Okay, so Mel B. Mel B is, first off, the gayest Spice Girl.
Yeah.
In terms of actual, she had a 5-year relationship with a woman. And recently, I mean, this is, I don't know how deep we can go in on this because the story is crazy.
It's like unfolding, right?
Yeah, it's an unfolding story. She's getting divorced from her husband, Stephen Belafonte. And they're, I'm so glad I remembered that. their nanny is, so she, in the divorce papers, so she filed the divorce and she claimed that he had an affair with their nanny and got her pregnant and she'd had to have an abortion. And so was using that as her, I don't know, to claim money from him, I guess. And then the nanny came out saying that she had mainly actually had an affair with Mel from the get-go. I know.
There's like
apparently, before she even became their nanny, she came in for a threesome that they filmed. Apparently, Mal would film almost all their sexual encounters. This is what the
That's a lot of admin, by the way.
I know. Filming stuff ain't easy.
You know, like, iPhone, you're doing that on a VA, you know, on a camcorder. Which you're going to have to then, I don't, then convert to DVD.
Yeah.
And then digitalize all that and probably put it in a Dropbox or something.
Yes. At the very least, it's a webcam.
Yeah, that's true. Linked to a big old computer. Like one of those, like, they would have had the Mac, like, orange or blue ones, you know, those?
Yeah.
Because they were Spice Girls and, like, rich. You're a millionaire if you had one of those computers. I used to love the laptop version of those, by the way. You know, they had like the fold-up thing. And they were like, the business computer.
It's like
and
you're a briefcase.
Like, it's too fun for any. Like, imagine like getting a like serious, like being you're being sued and you get that on email, but like that's the computer that you receive it on.
Right, orange.
You're like, oh my God, he's taking me for everything I'm worth. It's like blue.
Yeah. When you close it, she'll be like, poo, 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 poo. I was trying to like get on the riff there.
Oh,
and
it's all right.
I came from the wrong way.
No, that's fine. Keep going. Keep digging in with Scary Spice.
It's not always bangers. Scary Spice, though. From what I've read today, I've been reading a lot of her Wikipedia, and basically, I would say most sexually active Spice Girl. And even though I think that's worth applauding. Like okay.
Everyone's like, not yet.
We got like. Two claps before I asked for the applause. And then I was like, oh yeah, let's applause. And then after I asked, one clap. You know who's had the clap? Probably Mel B.
Oh, please. And you applaud that, for God's sake.
But I would say career-wise, probably I would say maybe the worst. Like, all she's done is fucking judge X Factor.
But she was great on that. Like, Britney Spears was so bad on X Factor. Like, we loved her. We wanted her to be great. And then she was just, like, a bit of a train wreck on that show. Whereas Mel B's fantastic on that show.
Yeah, Mel B is good. She's got some good notes.
Really endorse her on that show, by the way. Huge fan of X Factor. No, I'm not. I've never watched an episode.
One more.
Posh Spice. Victoria Beckham. You're a big fan.
She's got some fans in the house.
Has everyone here seen her 72 questions with Vogue? Like a few people have. Do people know what the 72 questions with Vogue are? Some people? Okay, great.
It's amazing.
You've got to watch Victoria Beckham's one. And if anyone who's listening, who's like not as important as the people in the room, you've got to watch it. It's so amazing. She's sauntering about a store. Her store?
It's her shop, yeah.
And she's looking busy, but she's like, that's the weird thing about those videos. They're like, oh, well, finally, I don't have time for this. But come in and ask me 72 questions, even though we've rehearsed this all week. They're like, oh, I've got a meeting. Would you like a cup of tea? And then it's all like prepped and ready.
Yeah.
So she's like walking around her store, but some of the questions are so strange. Her favorite flavor, salt.
It's like, a flavor enhancer.
I'm craving some salt right now. The movie that made her cry the most was 12 Years a Slave. The movie that made her laugh the most, We Are the Millers?
No, it didn't.
I just love the image of her watching that film. And then this is... And it's a great answer. It's a very strong answer, but just the way it's delivered. It's like she's asked, "What thing would you like to get rid of in the world?" Mm. And she just barrels the camera basically, and she's like, "AIDS," and then just marches on. You're just like, "Whoa!" Like, great answer, but just like, "Whoa!"
Yeah,
it's
that's crazy.
Such a good video.
That's awesome.
I saw Taylor Swift's one, and it was garbage. Also, her house, it's disgusting.
Really? Why?
It's disgusting. It's like exactly what you think it is. It's like an old nana's house. Chunky, like, taps. And it's all heavy wood. And it's just fucking yuck.
Fucking yuck.
Well,
that's what your next solo show should be called. Fucking yuck.
Because... I like kind of liked her for a bit and then was just like right off the bandwagon. And then when I saw that she has like disgusting taste, I was like, there we go. My position on her is confirmed.
Of course she has disgusting taste.
Yeah. She has like Republican taste.
Yeah.
She didn't support Clinton.
She didn't support Clinton, so and that's shut up. Fucked up. Victoria Beckham, one thing that I respect about her, she's always been like, they've asked her about Spice Girls reunions, and every time she talks about it, she's like, I can't sing, and I couldn't sing. Why would I be in a girl band again?
I love it. She's cold-hearted, but yes. Like, accurate.
Yes. Also, David Beckham. Yeah. That was a You Could Tell moment. Yeah, I looked at a lot of his underwear ads.
Yeah. I mean, the most You Could Tell underwear ad for me was that Dan Carter one when he came out for the Jockeys one. Ooh. And there was a huge billboard of it on, like, you know where the billboard was.
Yeah.
And every time our car... This is more of a visual gag, so sorry for the listeners out there. But every time we, like, the car would drive by, I'd literally just be like... be like, just looking for it as much as I could until my neck was, like, straining. We'd be, like... 100 meters down the road, and I'd still be like, I think I can see it still.
You know what I love about Dan Thirsty. Carter, and if you're an internationalist, please look up Dan Carter jockey right now. And he did that. He stopped now, right? But he did that for like 12 years.
Wow.
Like, it was while we were still at high school that he started, and he only finished recently. And my favorite one was the
because you had like a Google alert on your computer, right? You're like, yeah. Dan Carter new jockey photos.
The one time when they had the new season, it was the ones called Jockey Performance, which like aired out your balls and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is important during sports and also just to feel good at school. And you clicked into the website, it was Flash. It was one of the first moving websites that I ever saw. And it was like Dan Carter in underwear.
I remember
doing
this.
Sit-ups.
Yep. He was fucking sweaty and he was like in like a steel box or something. I felt like he was in like a dangerous room.
Yeah. He's in a panic room.
It's like someone was like holding him at gunpoint. He's like, just do more sit-ups in your undies. He's like, my balls are so sweaty. But dry. Jockey performance.
Hey, I think that might be the end of the bloody show.
Basically, though, I think...
Oh, we need
I'm
to pick...
I'm surprised by my answer here.
Okay.
But I'm going to say... Victoria Beckham's more of an icon than Jerry Halliwell. Therefore, Victoria Beckham is the most iconic member of the Spice Girls. But that's just my opinion. And Jerry was like my icon my entire childhood, but it's switched.
Oof.
That's fine. Kudos to Victoria.
I'm going to go
I'm a changed man after that, by the way.
I would have thought I'd go with Victoria as well.
Yeah.
But I'm going with Jerry. Because, look at me, I know what... I don't know how that goes.
Basically, if there's one thing we can take away, everyone needs to go back and watch all of Jerry's videos.
Yes.
And Victoria Beckham's 72 Questions with Vogue.
Yes, and the other Spice Girls, cut them out of your life. They're done.
We're done.
But celebrate how much sex Mel B's having. Get it, girl. Get it.
That's us. Boom! Two Chardonnays.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a face. It's the male game. Game.
They're both male. And they're both gay. The male game.
Thanks again to our sponsor, BigPipe.co.nz, who are offering our listeners a month free internet when you use the code BigPipeComedy at checkout at BigPipe.co.nz. Aw, thanks, Big Pipe.